Amen. Happy Father's Day. All right. That's awesome. Ephesians 5, if you want to be turning there, that's great. If you got your phone, your device, your Bible, maybe just a physical Bible, go to Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5. Before we get into the message, thanks so much for being patient a little bit with us as we're trying to, navigate through the whole coronavirus deal. It's the first time ever, you know, that we've dealt with something like this. And so we changed up our service times, which, you know, we've done. We change service times all the time. In fact, we change them so much, I can't even remember when to be at church. So I just tell Denise, tell me when I'm supposed to be there, okay? And she says, okay, you need to head to church now. But yeah, we change them up all the time. And, we just try to go with what flows, what works. So we went to 2. We tried to put those at optimum times for everybody at 9 and 10:30 because, like last week, our 11:30 has been slower to go since all this. You know, most churches nationwide are running about 30 to 35% of their normal attendance at this point. I think last week we were maybe 40%. Of our normal attendance. Our 11:30 service only had 66 people in it. So it was very different. So we met with all of our staff who are here all morning long. They're the ones doing it, you know, all morning. Our band's here all day long from 7 to 1 o'clock. And so we met with everyone, and we felt like temporarily, until we need to go back to 3, we'll go ahead and just keep it at 2. It just made sense. And so thank you for your patience. I hope anybody get here at 10 and think you were here on time? Yeah, all right, a few people. Praise the Lord for coffee shop. Amen. Get a cup of coffee. By the way, men, coffee's free for the men today. So you can go by and get some brewed coffee. I already had a cup. It was excellent. But yeah, so it's Father's Day. So anyway, we'll keep you informed. You know, you guys are in the habit now of checking your email, check social media. We try to text you. If I've got a little 1 or 2 minute video, I send you to update you on what's going on. Just keep checking those. We'll keep you updated. But for right now, it'll be 9 and 10:30. If you want a little less, our 9 o'clock had less. It was a good crowd, but it was less. There was more room in the balcony. So you could always try the 9 o'clock, and that's fine. They're identical. Kids, nurseries, everything flows at 9 just like it does at 10:30. So all right, we're going to dive into this. Ephesians chapter 5. I've got a message today that's really focused on the men, but there's so much we all can learn from this today. When it comes to the home, and it comes to marriage, and it comes to the man's responsibility, it could be summed up in one word. We could boil down our responsibility, guys, to one word. And I want you to look at Ephesians 5:25, and then you try to pick out what you think the word is. Ephesians 5:25. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What do you think the key word is, guys? Love. That's it. Love. You say, well, Pastor Dan, isn't it natural for a man to love his wife and his kids? Why did God have to command that? Why did God single out the guys here? Here's why. It's actually much more natural to be self-absorbed, self-consumed, and just plain selfish. And that's why about half of all marriages end in divorce. Because men, in their natural state, we tend to naturally suppress and exploit women. It's just the tragic legacy of sin. God warned of that. Men, in their natural state, simply are not wired to be naturally warm, caring, sensitive, relational. We can very easily be aloof and distant, all about ourselves, self-absorbed. But the good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. Once Christ enters your heart, Christ can enable a man to love his family and to experience a right and mutually rewarding relationship with his wife, where you're both fulfilled and where you're both satisfied. And you know, here's the deal. Statistics show this, that when mom and dad are together in the home, and they have a strong marriage, it increases the odds astronomically that you're going to raise strong kids that will one day have a strong marriage. It's the single biggest factor in child rearing. It's not the only factor. And there's certainly exceptions to that, but it is a huge, huge factor. But the thing is, mom and dad staying together and having a strong marriage isn't going to happen apart from verse 25. It all begins with a husband's love. Loving her as Christ loved the church. You say, Pastor Dan, that is impossible. I can't love like Jesus. You can, but Christ can as he lives his life through you and you allow him to live his life through you. Can I get an amen out there, huh? You can do it through Christ, right? I can do all things, what? Through Christ, which strengthens me. So what does it look like when a husband loves his wife and his family with a Christ-like love? What does that look like? I want to paint a portrait this morning of what it looks like when a man loves with a Christ-like love. What happens when you get a man who loves like Jesus? Number one is this. He willingly sacrifices. Boom. Verse 25, we just read it. We see that right out of the gate about sacrifice. Look at verse 25 again. Everyone look down again at verse 25, whether it's on your phone, your device of whatever you're using, your Bible, a physical Bible. Look at verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. Now, go back there to Ephesians 5, verse 2. Go back to verse 2 and notice a good cross-reference. It says here, walk in love as Christ loved us. And, there it is again, gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, when it says that he gave himself, that verb there means to yield up. In other words, Jesus didn't deserve to die. It was his right to live. We talk a lot about rights in America. Praise the Lord, we have rights. It's an awesome thing that we live in a free country. Amen, church? And we have rights. But here's the deal. He gave up his right to live. So why would Jesus do that? Why would he yield up his life? Why would he sacrifice his rights? He never sinned. It was his right to live. So why would he yield up his life, and why would he give up his right to live and die on the cross? Well, what are the two key words? Look at verse 5, look at verse 2 again, all right? It says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself. Now look at this. He gave himself, and what's the next two words? For us. There's the key. That's why he gave up his rights. He did it for us. Now, here's the deal. Did he sacrifice for us because we deserve it? Yes or no? No. Sometimes guys will think, or they may even say, when my wife straightens up and does what I need, then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. When she deserves my service and my sacrifice, I'll step up. Well, as you can see, that's not a very Christ-like attitude, is it? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't have that attitude towards us? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, when they deserve it, I'll die for them? I mean, when they deserve it, I'll let them, you know, put the nails through my hands and my feet. When they deserve it, I'll give my life for them and I'll sacrifice for them. Aren't you thankful Jesus didn't have that attitude? Amen, church. Hey, guys, listen, man, we are the leaders. We're to set the pace. We aren't to just react to her and her actions. That's not a leader. A leader doesn't just react. A leader leads. God didn't say love your wife because she deserves it. He said love her as Christ loved the church. Love her not because she deserves it. Love her because of Christ's love. Now, that's the motivation, and that's high ground. I mean, that's I'll admit, that's very high ground. But yet, it's what the Bible teaches. And God never defines love in the Bible as an emotion or a feeling. Now, the world does, and the world, you know, the world will tell you, hey, you know, when the feeling is gone, then it's over. Walk away. You know, and you may be struggling in your marriage right now, and you got people in your ear telling you that. Well, if you don't feel it anymore, and you don't really, you know, and you're not feeling it, then it's over. Walk away. But God never says that love is one big giant goosebump. He teaches that love is an act of selfless sacrifice. And as long as we approach marriage with a kind of what's in it for me mentality, we'll never know what it means to love with a sacrificial love and enjoy the benefits that come from that. And that's true of husband and wife, by the way. I mean, I'm preaching to the guys today, but certainly ladies need to also follow Christ. And ladies should also love their husbands this way too. But now, I do want to balance that out a little bit, you know, and I just want to say that, you know, guys, it's fair, and I think we should talk about it, that, hey, you know, life's not perfect. And if you are consistently not getting from your wife what you need, there's a disconnect there. And that happens. Because here's the deal. So many couples make a mistake where they think that their spouse's needs are the same as their needs. They just assume that you're both wired the same. My needs have to be what he wants, when the reality is his say, five core needs are really different than your five core needs. And so if you're consistently not getting from your wife those things that you need and there's a disconnect there, then absolutely there's a time to seek counsel, there's a time to face those issues, there's a time you gotta work through those issues. Hey, loving your wife sacrificially, that doesn't mean that you're her doormat. That doesn't mean that you just let her walk all over you. Jesus loves us with a sacrificial love, no doubt, but he's not our doormat. We don't just walk all over Jesus. And so love doesn't bury its head in the sand and act like there's no problems when there are problems you need to face. But what I am saying is that there's going to be days when you're just going to have to give more. And you're going to have to sacrifice. And that's the reality. You know, you've probably heard that marriage is 50-50. I don't know who is the idiot that ever said that. But marriage is very rarely ever 50-50, where this you got this perfect world where both of you feel the exact same way today. Neither one is hurting at all. And I'm able to give 50 and you're able to give 50. No, the reality is there's days when you're hurting and you can only, you know, she can only give 30, and you're going to have to step up, stand in the gap, and give 70 that day. And there's going to be days where he can only give 40, and she's got to stand in the gap and give 60. And that's what life, that's what love, loving like Christ is. At its very core, love is sacrifice, not because we have to. We can walk. It's because we want to. We love that person. We want to sacrifice. And a high percentage of marriage issues could be resolved by the man being the leader, setting the pace, loving his wife with a sacrificial Christ-like love. Because most of the time when the guy is the leader and he kind of sets the tone, she responds back positively with a Christ-like love of her own. And it's a beautiful thing when that happens. So let's look at the second thing. We're painting a portrait of a Christ-like love that a man has, right? What's the second thing? Not only does he willingly sacrifice, but the second thing we see in our text here is that he provides spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership. You know, have you ever hung out with somebody and you noticed that their effect on you was not good and not positive? Anybody ever had that happen? Where you're hanging out with someone and you are not a better person for hanging out with them. You're just not a better person. Well, the opposite's true too, right? There are people that have such a positive effect on our lives. We are better people when we spend time with them because their godly attitudes rub off on us. And here's the point, and we're going to look at here in verses 26 and 27, is that when you spend time with Jesus, when you spend time with Christ, when you experience his love, when you embrace Christ's love, there is an incredible positive effect on your life. Look at verse 26. It says here, it goes on, and he says, love your wife, right? As Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Verse 26, notice though what Christ does, that he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it. Talk about the church, that's us, with the washing of water by the word. Notice what else he does, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. He calls us glorious, not having spot or wrinkle. Wow, that's descriptive. Or any such thing. Notice that it, and again, the it is the church. That's us. That it should be holy and without blemish. You look at that. It's like, wow, look at the positive effect that Christ has on us. The Bible says that he sanctifies us. That means to make us holy. He cleanses us. That means to purify. That he could present it. He says we're glorious. That means noble. He says holy, without blemish. That means blameless, faultless. And then it says Christ's love takes out the spots and the wrinkles. I love that, you know? It's like, you know, guys say you got a really nice dress shirt. It's like brand new, right? But something happens, you get it muddy, dirty, filthy, food stains all over it. You wad it up, throw it in the back of your car. And a couple weeks later, you go back there and you find it. And it's all wadded up. It's just full of wrinkles and dirt and grime. And then you take that shirt to the cleaners. And you take that baby to the cleaners, and then you go back a couple of days later, you get your shirt, it's on a hanger, it's perfect, there's no wrinkles, the stains are all gone. I mean, it looks like brand new. And that is what Christ's loving leadership does for us. It sanctifies and cleanses us. And the point here, the point of this text, is that that's the same way that we're to love our wife. And the point is that, so men, this kind of love that he's talking about, because look at verse 28, look at that. In this way, what way? What we just read. Jesus loves us with a love that sanctifies us, makes us holy, takes out spots and wrinkles. Verse 28, in this way, men ought to love their wives as their own body. So men, this kind of love means that we step up and, hey guys, we provide spiritual leadership for our families. In other words, you have a positive influence on your family. By setting a godly example, your life has a purifying effect on your wife and your family, just like Christ does for us. That's the point he's making here. Talking about things like being honest with your wife, being honest with your kids, things like reading your Bible with your kids. It's so powerful. You know, it's one thing. It's great for them to go over here and see their junior church teacher read the Bible. It's a whole nother level of impact when they see Dad read it. You know, praying for your kids. That's what we're talking about. There's just, you have a purifying effect on your family. Being honest, reading the Bible, praying for them. I remember when my boys were growing up, and at night they would be asleep. They wouldn't even know it, but I would go into their room and I'd see them sleeping. And isn't it amazing how angelic they look when they're sleeping? And I just think, how precious. And I remember many, many nights I'd go in and I'd just kneel beside their bed and I'd pray over them. And I'd pray for God's protection. And I would pray, you know, that the Lord would just do a great work in their life. And, you know, pray over them, pray with them, pray for them. You know, guys, it means that we lead the way to church. You know, it's a thing where, you know, mom's not getting up trying to get everybody out the door. Now, dad's leading the way. Dad gets up. And dad's excited. And dad's like, hey, man, we get to go to church. It's not we have to go to church. It's we get to. Amen? We get to go to church. It's what we do, man. This is who we are. This is how we start our week. We start our week in church. We start our week, you know, carving out time for God, worshiping God. And this is what we do on Sunday. And dad's leading the way to church. Serving together. You know, as the leader, protecting your home from ungodly influences. And so you're a person that your wife can look up to, respect, and trust. Now look, you aren't perfect. All right? I should have gotten a lot of amens right there. At least from the ladies, amen. You're not perfect, and nobody expects you to be perfect. You say, you don't know my wife. No, she doesn't expect you to be perfect. Here's what she does expect. A wife appreciates it when you're honest about your failures, you know, and you're honest about your mistakes and you own them. Instead of just, it's hard to admit when you're wrong, especially men, man. We have a hard time admitting when we're wrong. But man, when you own your mistakes and your failures, you go up. Your respect level goes up for your wife, you know, your wife and your kids. No reasonable person expects you to be perfect. You're not going to be. But through Christ, you can be the spiritual leader. You can be the godly influence that you need to be. Because here's the deal. You yield to Christ in you, and then your family sees Christ living through you. You just let him flow through you. That's the key. It's kind of like this. Using an illustration, I brought this in. I love root beer. And so I brought in a 2-liter root beer here. And you know, say you go to the store, you get you a 2-liter bottle, you know, you bring it home, and you go to pour it like this, and nothing comes out. And you're like, well, man, what's the problem? There must be nothing in here. So you shake it. You beat it like a ketchup bottle. Nothing comes out. And so finally somebody sees you over there struggling with it, and they say, why don't you take the cap off? Good idea. You in the splash zone, amen. You're like, I'm not going to do that. Somebody says, take the cap off. You know what? You take that cap off, guess what? It comes out. It flows out, amen? And you know what, guys? We're like that 2-liter bottle right there. There's good stuff in you if you know Jesus. I mean, you have his spirit, his life, his righteousness imputed to you. You have his sweetness in you. You have his awesome leadership ability in you guys, but you got to take the cap off and let it out. You yield and you humble yourself before him, and you're like, I want Dan Proctor out of the way, and I want you, Jesus, to live through me. I want you to love my wife and love my kids and flow out of me and flow through me to provide what they need. There's good stuff in you, but you got to take the cap off. And when you do that, man, what a difference it makes. You see, to love like Christ loves means that we willingly sacrifice. He gave himself for us. Number two, it means that we provide spiritual leadership for our family. There's a purifying effect you have on your family. They're better people because you're in the home. You're the leader. Number three is this. Number three we read here is that if we love like Christ, number three, he cares deeply, and it shows. You know, as human beings, I think we have the ability to care. We care, but then struggle with really showing it. I know this is a battle for most men. I know it is for me. It just is. I think, guys, we tend to hide and suppress our true feelings. I don't know why we do that, but we do it. It's like we're afraid to be real. We're afraid to just express ourselves and our feelings. And so we keep it bottled up, or we mask our true feelings. We care. We care deeply sometimes, but we just don't show it. And that's why I said he cares deeply, and it shows. You see, our families need us to be emotionally responsive. Unfortunately, it's not enough to just care. They need to know how much we care and how much they mean to us. Because they can't read your heart. They can't see your heart. And of course, Christ is our example. He's tender, compassionate, loving, kind, full of grace. Look back at chapter 4, verse 32, that last verse in chapter 4. It says, be you kind. Look at the sensitivity in that verse. Look at that. Verse 32, chapter 4. Be kind. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Isn't that nice? Kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And so, you know, you look at that and you see that Christ is our example. You know, tender love. Jesus meets our needs, provides grace, strength, peace, joy, whatever we need, Christ provides. We're complete in Christ. God's word says, love your wife and love your children with that same kind of caring love. Look down at verse 28. Go back to Ephesians 5:28. He says there, in this way, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord cares for the church. So notice the tenderness. Nourish and cherish your wife. You know, like your body. In a normal world, a person cares for their body, right? If it's hungry, what do? You guys, come on. Don't look religious at me. I know where you're heading after church. You're heading to get some food. If your body's hungry, come on, tell me, what do? You feed it. If it's cold, you warm it. You pull the blankets up over you or you put a jacket on. If your body is dirty, filthy, and smelly, you clean it, we hope. If your body is sick, you nurse it back to health and give it what it needs. So this speaks of tenderness, gentleness, and affection. What am I talking about? Well, I mean, you know, guys, a spontaneous hug. I mean, can you imagine? You know, some of you guys, you go in the kitchen and just grab your wife and just give her a big old hug. You may have to have smelling salts to revive her, you know. She may faint. Right? Give her a big old hug. Holding hands with her as you walk down the street. A call during the day to check on her, you know, spending time talking to her when you get home about her day, help her with the dishes, help her with the kids at night, and a spontaneous love note, a surprise getaway. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, Pastor Dan, that's just not me. There's a simple solution. Change. I'm serious. It's a simple solution. Change. Say, what do you mean? Let me give you a statement here. I'm going to put it on the screen. Success in marriage is more than finding the right person. It's becoming the right person. So true. Listen, none of us have arrived, including yours truly, man. None of us have figured it all out. We are all a work in progress. But I know this. The prayer is not, Jesus, change this woman. The prayer is, Jesus, change me. That's the prayer. Change me. And I'm going to bring another statement up on the screen. So true. Your success as a husband and a father depends on your willingness to change. That's so true. You know, we can excuse ourselves if we want to. We can go all through life making excuses. Or we can say, I need to change. You know, I'm a lot different than I was at 20. I was 20 years old when I married Denise. And I'm a lot different now than when I married Denise. I would like to think I've changed mostly for the better. But I'm a different person. You know, it's funny when you're raising your kids, you know, it's like, God must have a sense of humor, because it's like you have kids when you're young and stupid and you don't know what you're doing. You know? And it's like you have kids, you're trying to figure it out. Then finally, when you're like in your 50s and you've kind of started to figure some stuff out, you've kind of mellowed a little bit, and you know, you've made some changes in your life, your kids are already grown. And you wish you could go back and do it over. You know, y'all with me? And I don't know, my eldest son is in here somewhere, but it's like the oldest child catches the brunt of your stupidity, right? Because you're young, you don't have a clue what you're doing, and you're trying to figure it out, and the youngest one kind of catches the brunt of all that. I mean, the oldest one catches the brunt of all that. And you try to, hopefully you learn something on the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth one. Too bad you can't just have kids in your 50s. Ooh, no, let's not go there. No. That didn't sound right, did it? It's too bad we couldn't know in our 20s when we have kids what we know in our 50s. Let's put it that way. Amen. All right, that's a little better way to put that. I lost some of y'all right there, I know. But what's my point, guys? My point is that we got to be willing to change. And if we struggle with being tender and affectionate and caring, we got to be willing to change because our families need that. They need to know that we care. They need to know that we care. Well, I'm about out of time. I just want to give you the fourth point quickly, and that's number four. If we demonstrate a Christ-like love, guys, what does it look like? We're painting a portrait. If a man loves like Jesus, he willingly sacrifices for his wife and kids, right? He provides spiritual leadership. They're better for having him in their life. They're better people. And then the third thing we looked at, he cares deeply and it shows, just like Christ. But then number four, he demonstrates a total commitment. When it comes to his wife and kids, he's all in. This isn't a hobby to him, all right? And that's verses 31, 32, 33, where he talks about a man leaves his father and mother, you sever former ties, and then he leaves his father, cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. You sever former ties, unite with your wife, and you become one. That means a permanent union, like what we have with Christ. Nothing separates us from the love of Christ. Jesus is totally committed to us. And men, that's the kind of love we're to have for our wife and our family. Being a husband and being a dad is not to be treated like a hobby on the side when you have time or you feel like it. Like, you know, like hunting or fishing or golfing. No, it's your main business. That's what I'm about. I'm a husband, or I'm a husband, I'm a dad. I remember through the years when my boys were growing up, I'd have pastors ask me, often, what's your hobbies, Dan? What do you like to do? I kind of like struggle with that. I'm like, my hobbies. Well, and then I just finally kind of realized that, you know, when I'm not working, I just want to be with my wife and my kids. And that's what I like to do. I like to hang with them and be with them. And that's what you're about, you know? And if you're not ready for that kind of a commitment, then don't get married. Because a lot of people they like the idea of getting married, but then somehow they still want to live like they're single. That's not what the Bible teaches. That ain't going to work. You are now one flesh with someone else. And so if you're not ready for that kind of a commitment to where you're all in, then don't get married. And don't have kids till you're ready to be all in. It's not a hobby. Being a husband and being a dad, that's serious business. That has to be what you're about. That's your myth. Not that you don't go to work, you don't do other things, but that's what you are. That's who you are at your core. That's what you're about. And outside of your relationship with Christ, your wife needs to know that she's number one in your life. Nothing supersedes your relationship with her. You have a total commitment to her and the family. And so, you know, as we study this passage, we see Christ's love, and it inspires us to love our families. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But you cannot leave here, guys, and say, all right, I'm going to do it then. I'm going to grip my teeth, and I'm going to do these things. That won't last. No, that won't last. You can't grit your teeth and do it. Your attitude has to be, I can't love my wife that way. But Jesus, I need you to love her through me. you can do it through me. I can do all things through Christ. Lord, you're going to have to love her through me. You're going to have to do it through me, because if I'm going to love her that way, then you're going to have to do it through me. And every day, that's your prayer. Lord, love my wife, love my kids, love them through me. Amen, church? Let's pray.